Ready.
Launch.
Three, two, one, boom.
Boom.
You know, just explode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yep, another week, another fun week. I hope the weather isn't as nice as it is here in Vienna for you. And with me, as always, I have an amazing panel. Jeff is out today, so I'm the interim host for Jeff Gamet today. He's taking care of family, and Dave is moving. But I have with me the man, the myth, the just walked out of the window. I'll
I'm sorry, bloody doorbell's gone.
It's all good. I wanted to introduce Ewan, but I'll instead say, Jack, how are you doing?
I'm good. Timing is everything, Ewan. Timing is everything.
Timing is
Oh,
perfect.
that's good to start off the show with a bit of a laugh. That's perfect.
That's exactly what we need. How are you doing? Is all okay on your side? Busy week?
We were talking pre-show. I figure I'm roughly 2.5 years behind where I should be as far as my things to do list. Other than that, that's, I guess, in today's world, that's probably about standard.
Yeah,
you got a to-do list.
You don't, Ewan?
I've given up
I've
on
been
that.
trying to start a to-do list for 3 years.
I have been trying to start a to-do list for over 40, so it's
All it
still
says
keep
is make to-do list.
Yeah, but I mean, no worries. The day has 48 hours, so should be fine,
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. Is that UK math? Is that what's happening here?
That
No,
is Czech
we're
show.
Still tied to EU law on that. We can't go over 24.
Yes, exactly. I thought that was the US system, the whole thing. 48 hours. Speaking of 48 hours, no, I don't know how I got there. Marty, how are you doing?
Great film.
Thank that was a terrible segue.
I know, I
48
know.
hours has nothing to do with it. I'm doing good. It's Friday. I love Fridays. And
Who doesn't?
who doesn't? And I have some plans for the next couple of 48 hours. There you go. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow, and so I'm surprising her with some things she doesn't know that I do. One is bake bread,
Wow.
which I started,
Okay.
and
Nice.
well, I don't bake it, the machine bakes it, but and ice cream. I'm gonna bring homemade ice cream
Ooh.
to her party, and she thinks I'm picking it up someplace else, but I'm gonna disappoint her by making it myself and trying to steal recipes. So I'm going to have fun in the next 48 hours.
In the next 48 hours. Yeah, I'll be right there. Like fresh baked bread and homemade ice cream. Like that's just perfect.
Yeah, it's great for diabetics.
Unfortunately also true, yeah, great for diabetics. Not a diabetic, Ewan, how are you doing?
I am. I just control it through diet. I don't take anything for it. Been free
Yeah.
of it for eight years now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I would say
Well,
that
yeah, eight.
counts.
Yeah. No, I mean technically I am, but no, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay. You?
I'm doing well. It's been a bit of a crazy week. I was in Germany for a couple days, like 3.5 days. It's just exhausting, travel.
I've spent the week going through the Epstein files to see if I'm in them, and I'm not. So
You're
it's a good
not.
week.
It's a good week for you.
Yeah. I was
Yeah.
worried for a bit.
Really?
No.
Not really. Yeah, I would have been surprised if you're in it. I mean, there's a ton of people from the UK in it, but
Everyone
not
else
you.
is in it. I felt a bit left out.
Oh. Anyway, you know who has a big week ahead of them, and that's Apple. Tim Cook teased us a little bit, saying, "Yeah, we got a big week ahead. Not a lot. Like he just it just confirmed the things people have been thinking that we would get probably something on Monday, already probably Monday, Tuesday, and then the special experience that Apple announced for Wednesday." So yeah, he says a big week ahead. It all starts Monday morning. Hashtag Apple launch. So What are we thinking? Like, what's first? iPhone, iPad, Mac?
Well, I've got a question because
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
not being on channel in the greenie still. I'm not caught up with the news yet. There was a discussion thing about the fact that they're talking about taking away the charging port maybe on the 17E. And I was just going to say, well, I mean, I'm sure they can do it. That's not what I'm saying, but surely that port is mostly for diagnostics. So there's going to have to be something there. And if it's going to charge the phone, what's the point in taking it away? Because I know, like yesterday, I'd had my phone on in the morning. I was going into town to a networking event. I'm like, oh God, I'm down at 75%. I could probably do with boosting that up to 100. So I took the plug out the back of my Qi charger and stuck it straight in the phone because I knew I'd get that up to high 90s before I went out. And I just think, from a functionality viewpoint, from a user standpoint, the faster charging for the direct connection is useful. And from a diagnostics viewpoint, I don't see how they're going to get rid of that and then still be able to diagnose issues in store. So it didn't seem like a proper story, like it's going to happen or not.
I mean, the question, it's a good question, why, right? But I mean, there is devices that don't have it. I mean, HomePods, Vision Pro, Technic, well, yeah, there's kind of a way to get a diagnostic port. Apple Watch has never had it. So
But they
there
run
was
off,
a
no, but they've got a power port though.
no. But Apple
I
Watch
hope that's.
doesn't. Apple Watch has no diagnostic port at all. It never had it.
I thought it was under the strap. You take the strap off, and there's three little lugs.
Nope. That was like there was a port in the very, very first
Oh, right.
version, which was probably just a leftover from the design. It's never used for a diagnostic. No, they just use wireless diagnostic. And there was like a patent they filed, I want to say 3, 4 years ago for that, where they can do diagnostic over wireless, over I think more or less G basically. So yeah, it's doable. I mean, the question is just on and you bring it up. It's like. The fast charging is such a great feature, and why would they take it away? Like, is there a good reason to do it other than, well, we can?
I mean, I've got a battery as well that sorry, I've got a battery that's got a Qi charger on the front of it as well as, and no end of times I'll sit that down, rest my phone on it, and it'd be like, oh, I've got a signal, no, I haven't. Oh, I've got a signal, no, I haven't. And that's another one that kind of scrapes the barrel a bit. Sorry, here we interrupted.
You and I haven't seen the article that you're referring to. Are you talking about it taking off all the phones and starting with this, or just this low level 17?
The discussion was on, I think it was on a post that I saw on Instagram.
Yes.
I can't remember who it was, but it was kind of, it seemed credible as a story. So I thought, well, yeah, okay, that's interesting. I'll ask the question on Friday.
Well,
But
the reason I
yeah,
yeah, the reason I
there
bring
was
it
a
up.
rumor definitely.
Okay,
The last
well,
couple of days.
the reason I bring it up is I could almost see it on like the quote unquote entry level phones, but for the higher end and especially the pro phones, there are a lot of things that connect to that USB-C port. And especially as much as Apple's talked about filmmaking and all, you can plug in storage drives. You can plug in, you can connect microphones. I mean, there are a lot of different ways in. And so I would be shocked if they took it away from there. Could that be something, though, that might start to differentiate the pro phones from the non-pro phones, if you will? Is if you want to do these connections, you got to ramp up to the pro.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
mean,
we
that is
used.
possible.
I took a drive with me and an iPad and my iPhone, and I was backing up all the images onto these little SanDisk things whenever we were out in South Africa, and it was sticking in a USB-C hub that was then separately powered by a battery pack and then backing up to these things, as I say, and that was essential.
I found
Yeah,
the I
I.
found the this the story. It was on Mac Rumors this week. And it's basically showing they're not dropping the cable per se. They replace or I mean it was a TikTok video, like it's not really any credible source, but it's basically the idea is it's kind of like MagSafe. So you still have a cable, but it's not USB-C anymore, it's just a MagSafe charger.
Yeah, but I think like Chuck says, for the pro phones, there's a really good need. And I was backing up my, because this USB-C thing has got a card port from a camera. You still needed a screen of some description to start the transfer process onto the external drive, and the iPad and iPhone were perfect for that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially on the Pro. I mean, I would say, like, given like all the promotion Apple has done around, our events are shot on iPhone and you could connect external drives to record in RAW and all of that, or whatever it's called, ProRes. I don't think they would take it away on the Pro phones. I think they couldn't, because I mean, you need that bandwidth, that USB-C bandwidth to
Yeah,
even write the data. So like no
especially
chance.
with the advent of the studio package now as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, maybe on the lower end they could get away with it, but on the high end, I don't see it.
Thanks for bringing up a non-story, Ewan. Yes, no problem.
No,
Well,
that
that
was good.
helps.
That was a
And I
good,
don't
that
think
was
they'd even
definitely
do
a
it.
good story.
I don't think they'd even do it on the low end, because people who are buying into the low end are used to plugging their phones in.
True.
They're not ready for the magic, and that magic would probably be more expensive than just putting a port in it, or keeping the port in it, I should say. So I don't see it.
Not yet. I mean, if we
Don't see
get
it.
wireless power everywhere, then maybe, like eventually in the next 200 years, but not
We've
now.
got trains here that have got wireless. So if you get a first class ticket, you get a free cheap charger in your table. Just pointless. Oh wow, look, it charges. No, it doesn't do. And you're moving it round. It's
Yeah.
no. And
The
then
train
it'll
moves a little
pling.
bit and then it's
Yeah,
like
and then it'll pling, and you're like, yes, I've got a charge. And then it'll like shuffle after you've gone over some points, and you've lost it again. The Krypton factor.
it's true.
I thought there's a suggestion of two new studio displays coming out as well.
Yeah, that's
30,
actually.
32 inch and 27. Now, I mean, I'm going to say absolutely the best monitor I've ever owned was my Apple Thunderbolt Apple
The
display.
Thunderbolt display, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, but it's yellow now. I can't make it white, so it's useless for photos. I can't use it anymore. It's broken my heart. But I've got in front of me a wide 40-inch curved monitor that cost me under £300, and I've just bought a new one for upstairs for the gaming rig at 34 inches, slightly curved, and it was £199. And I just think the market is so fiery at the moment for monitors. There's really good quality monitors at virtually nothing. And who's going to buy a 2 grand studio display, apart from just a few high-end people who can afford it?
Yeah,
But
and those people who have too much disposable income and just want something that has Apple, right? Those people always, like us.
But it's like nice.
Yeah.
Go on,
Do
sorry,
I
Chuck.
ask? Yeah, do you mind if I ask who the manufacturers are of those?
Oh, I've got an Iliama, I've got an Asus, and I've got a Z Edge in front of me, which I'd never heard of before. Bloody great monitor. Absolutely fantastic. Calibrate it, not a problem.
I'm kind of wondering with the studio display how much of it is simply it's this old and it's probably getting harder and harder for Apple to manufacture it. So they might just upgrade it just to get it on the current hardware. I mean, there's a little iOS in it, right? There's like a whole operating system. So maybe it's just that they're like, okay, might as well, whatever, throw the latest stuff in we have without spending too much time on it.
Considering the market and how it's come down for high-end quality monitors, does Apple need to stay in it?
Can they afford it? I think that's a good question, because is it costing them more to produce these things than it is to sell them?
Yeah, I mean, Apple is so good at it. I doubt that, but you never know.
Yeah, I've got a studio monitor and no desire to upgrade it or buy another one at this point. At this point, I'm going to ask you and give me those names and those numbers again, and I'll try
Yeah,
and
no.
purchase another. Yeah. I mean, seriously, if I was in the market for another one, it wouldn't be an Apple choice.
No, I mean the one I've got in front of me is it's huge. It's great. It's really wide. And it's crystal clear. It's 256, I think, is the resolution on the long edge. So it's
I mean,
pixel wise, it's fine.
Marty, your question is a good one. Like, I mean, is there a market for it? Should Apple get out of it? But I mean, we've gone through that cycle at least twice, I think, by now, right? It's like Apple was doing a display and they were not. Then, oh, there was like the market wasn't delivering. Then they said, okay, let's do it again. And like, it's been like up and down. And maybe we're in the downswing again.
I just don't think Apple can add anything to the technology that justifies the cost when you can get the same technology and resolution and stuff on other monitors at a much cheaper price, that even if the monitor crashes in 2 years, I can buy three of them over a period of time and the price will only go down. You know, so to me, it just seems like a lost effort. And I mean, maybe that's the reason why they were in it and then out of it, and then they got back in it, and now maybe it's time to get out of it again.
Yeah.
I mean, 5K resolution, great resolution. Not going to say it's not. But the other thing is, as well, there'll be a Thunderbolt hub in the back of it, which would be great.
I mean, they can add a Thunderbolt 5, but
You can get a Thunderbolt. You can get a USB 3 hub. £20
Yeah, but I mean, even if you need Thunderbolt, like Thunderbolt 5 hubs, they're not that expensive anymore.
I almost feel like what we're talking about here is because your point about the Thunderbolt hub is a great one, Ewan, that we all know technology gets cheaper, and so up until this point, they've been able to Apple and everybody have been able to add features that preserved the pricing, and now it's becoming tougher. And this just happened last night on Dave's show, where we had a conversation about TVs and how they've, you know, now why would you buy a $2,000 TV unless you just are some crazy videophile, when you can go and get a perfectly decent TV for, you know, well under $1,000 and usually down into the 500s.
I've got a 90-inch TV here that cost me $699. Pounds.
Wow.
So under $1,000.
Right.
And it's stunning.
Yeah. And so, you know, now the question becomes, what can they do to add the value? Because, I mean, and the TV, I'm thinking about the TV industry and what they tried to do. You know, they tried for a while, it was curved. Then we had 3D. You know, now we just saw someone, I've got, was it Samsung? Fold their, the 8K. You know, they were trying to sell us 8K. And now they've backed away from that. And so, you know, are we seeing the same thing here in the tech industry, especially when it comes to monitors, maybe to some other things as well?
Yeah. I mean, those are the cycles everywhere. And there's always people buying it. Like, there's always people who are like, I want the latest, greatest, and I'm okay with paying $5,000 or $10,000 for a TV. I just want whatever. Those people exist. It's just a matter of, it's not the average person, and it's a matter of how many of those people are there, and is it worth it? And with, like, growing component costs right now, I think for a lot of, like, companies, it's not. Right? I mean, that's also for Apple the question. I mean, they're very good at, like handling their supply chain and all of that, but even Apple cannot escape, to some extent at least, cannot escape RAM prices. Tim Cook just said so. I think he said, like, in quarter one, they were able to kind of escape it a little bit, but he's not sure about quarter two.
And no one's going to stand a price rise, a massive price rise on things, because at the moment in this country, no one's got any money.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a worldwide problem.
Yeah. I saw an article that said HP laptops, the RAM itself is about 50% of the cost.
Whew. Jesus.
Because of the increase in RAM prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who has a lot of money apparently? The NATO right now. There was an announcement from Apple today, I think today, that Apple's iPhone and iPad are the first and only consumer devices in compliance with the information assurance requirements of NATO nations. So that allows them basically to be used for classified information up to the NATO restricted level. So I'm guessing there's higher levels that they can't do. I guess I have no clue. I'm just reading what the news article says. Without requiring any special software or settings. So no other consumer mobile device has met that certification. It just shows that the investment Apple has made in security, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how secure it doesn't matter how secure it is in the US, we still have idiots that are putting information.
Yeah, if you're using it wrong, then nobody can help. Yes.
Was it stolen from the super secure iPad that we gave you? No, I left it. It's a piece of paper. I left it in a cab.
Yeah. No, I just put it up on Facebook.
No, that was it. All the big security leaks after 2000 in the UK, it was all government ministers leaving their briefcases in bloody cabs and things like that. It was never anything to do with the tech.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was a brute force attack. What do you mean? Well, someone leaned in the cab and picked it up.
Yeah. The German government, by the way, is also mentioned that it can handle because, you know, EU is and NATO is not enough. Germany has to be special. It also can handle German classified data now.
I think this is Bob telling us that England are going to lose this game.
No.
England are playing cricket at the moment. I've given up watching England play cricket to talk to you guys. Come on.
Because of you, they're going to lose now.
I know all three of you would give up watching cricket to do the Mac show. That's not the issue.
Yeah, I actually thought that was a reference to what we were talking about until you pointed out it's a cricket game that is the conversation.
Oh, my God. Give up. Just watch the Mac show, though.
It's not an MVNO, Marty. It's a game.
We're much more entertaining.
So we don't
look
do
as good in the shorts.
Yeah. We don't play shorts. Have we got any predictions that we've got to do and stuff like that? Or is it all leaked everywhere anyway?
It's hard to do predictions because it's mostly press releases. But we can do it. We talked a little bit about it last week already, but you weren't here, I think. So if you have any predictions for us, go for it. For the event.
Well, I mean, I did quite well last year, didn't I, on the predictions? I predicted the 16E and I predicted something else. I got both mine right.
No, you did not.
No,
if you listen to the show, we did.
No.
Yes.
Patrice, no one cares what you think.
No, it wasn't me. It was all of us. We together looked at your predictions and said, nope, not correct.
I just don't care what you think.
Well, that's your problem.
Is it like there has to be an M5 chip come out, or is the M4 still doing well and they're thinking, you know what, with investment, with costs, etc., we don't need an M5? Is it a shoe-in or is it a maybe?
I think it's a shoe-in.
I don't see why they would be releasing MacBook Pros if we're fine with the chip that we have in it.
That's true. They might just not do MacBook Pros.
There's an M5 chip coming.
It's already out, right? It's already in the Vision Pro and it's already in the MacBook Air. So,
And it's in a Pro.
And the Pro it's baseline, the right? Yeah.
Baseline, yeah, Pro.
Yeah.
But we don't think it's going to go into everything else.
If the M4 was good enough, as you're suggesting, then why would they do a Pro Mac, M5 Pro, M5 Pro Max, with the MacBook Pro, supposed MacBook Pro releases that are happening this week?
That is a good question.
I feel like they have to, just because of the public perception. You know, I mean, is
just
M4,
marketing.
I've got an M4 and I'm quite happy with it. The mm-hmm. I think I got the Pro Max because I bought the top end when I was able to get it. But you know, at this point, I don't know. Especially with the RAM situation, I'm going to be hard pressed to upgrade, even though I might consider for the performance. But I also want to stack up a lot of RAM. So that's going to put that price just through the roof. So there are a lot of different moving pieces here.
Yeah, I saw something Tim Cook had kind of assured, at least through this cycle, that they're going to absorb the RAM in terms of the cost of the RAM as
For
it's
quarter
been.
one they did, yes, but for quarter two he wasn't so sure. So far they haven't had any significant impact. Yeah,
So
which is not a surprise, right?
we theoretically have still a month in quarter one. So if they release things tomorrow, or excuse me, next week, that are tempting, it may be a good reason to do the upgrade if they're going to absorb the RAM costs.
Yeah, I was talking to an
Thanks for the
accountant.
excuse, Chuck.
I was talking to an accountant the other day, and he was saying that the businesses that he services, luxury businesses are selling, and bargain basement businesses are selling, but the mediocrity business, the middle ground businesses are all struggling. I think that's something to think about with Apple, is that like I said, you might get the £2,500 studio display, and there are people who will still buy that regardless of the economic fluctuations. And the cheaper stuff, because Apple does nothing that's really cheap, but the E version will probably sell. But I think you're going to have a downturn, so it doesn't make any sense to release mediocre products. It doesn't make any sense to release mid-range products. Sorry, let's say that instead.
That makes sense.
Interesting perspective, you and I hadn't thought about it that way, except for what the pricing differential is between those mid-level products and the upgrade. Because we've talked plenty of times about how the base level products are sort of there with the price point designed to, well, for just a little bit more, you can move up to the mid. So
But also
now
anchor a
in.
price a little bit and say, hey, but it's only whatever, $7.99, even though like you really have to upgrade to get something that's useful.
Right. But so now, do you push the mid-level products maybe just a little higher so that, okay, just but for just a little more, I can get the top-level product?
Yeah, I think the people that can afford the top level are buying the top level. They don't give a stuff about what's below it. So I don't think pushing towards that makes sense. But I think your logic there of the you could go up to the mid-range product, I agree with. And I think for the last 3 years, that probably would have been a sound marketing principle. But now that people are so strapped for cash, I can only afford the base level. I'm going to buy the base level, otherwise I'm not buying anything this year at all.
Ewan,
I
what's your take on the new MacBook Lite or whatever you want to call it?
the MacBook.
I haven't really looked at it. Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, cheaper end products are still selling. I know it's not cheap. But it's the lower end products are still
For
selling in
Apple.
all industries. No, in all industries. That's what I'm saying. You look at Amazon is shoving monitors out at under £200, hand over fist. I'm sure of it.
No,
Because people
I
are going,
meant
oh, I need a new
cheap for
monitor.
Apple.
I dropped it. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. The base model in ranges are still selling. There are
They're
still people
simply
who, I ain't buying an Android phone. I'm going to buy an Apple phone if I'm going to buy a phone at all. And I'm more likely to make my 17 Pro Max last, you know, 16 Pro Max last for another 3 or 4 years, perhaps, rather than purchase. But
And I mean and I
people are
mean
buying low end.
yeah and I mean that might kind of mean that Apple makes the mid-range a little bit more attractive, right? Because usually you have the three tiers of buyers. You have the baseline buyers, they're like, we're going to buy baseline whatever. There's the mid-tier, they're going to buy mid-tier whatever. And the high-end buys the high-end. And that's usually how it is. And there are some people that might be on the fence, but mostly like they're not. But if, as you said, like the people are price conscious, so they drop a tier down and say, okay, I'm going to buy the baseline. If you make the mid-tier a little bit more attractive for you, you might be like, maybe I can spend the whatever extra 100 quid to still get what I usually would buy. Right? It just depends on
Yeah,
how you position it.
I think folks who are already in the Apple ecosystem know what they want to buy and at what level they want to buy. It's the lower cost models that are the ones that'll pull people in to the ecosystem, and then the next laptop or the next computer that they get in that ecosystem, they'll make that decision of whether they jump up. And by the time they get it, maybe even the lower expense model has improved to a point where they're like, no, I'll just still stay in this tier.
Yeah, exactly.
But right now they're losing market to some of the low-end PCs and also to Chromebooks, particularly in the school environment. And so I think this is an opportunity for them to get into that market.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why they're introducing it again. I mean, we've had MacBooks in the past, right? We had the baseline MacBook that was the, I mean, the yeah, that was the student MacBook or the like the lower-end MacBook, and I think that's exactly what we're getting at. I wanted
Okay,
to
so
mention, sorry, Chuck, go for it.
no, go ahead, Patrice. Go ahead, Patrice.
I wanted to
I
switch to
want.
another topic, so like.
Oh, well, let me just riff on this for a second because I'd like to know what you all think. So let's say we are getting a quote unquote lower end MacBook, right? Apple has always been about the experience. And first of all, how much, and I'm not even sure how you quantify how much, but what kind of downgrades do we expect to see, or lower specs do we expect to see, that would still give you the Mac experience, but could justify the lower price point? Because that's my concern. Is it's always been you're going to bring out a cheap, kind of like what we were saying about Chromebooks. You know, yeah, they're cheap. Okay, that's lovely, but you can only do
They're
so much
cheap.
with them.
They're
Yeah, but
cheap.
yeah, but they're cheap, right? So, you know, where is the compromise? Is it, we saw that in number of ports, that was a problem with the MacBook Air. They had to put at least two in. You know, do you do clock speed? Do you do chips? You
A little bit of
know,
both,
where's the
right?
compromise?
I mean, the first one is probably materials. Like Apple has in the past done that a couple of times where they had premium like polycarbonate Macs or iPhones or whatever that were simply less expensive to produce and less prone to like certain things. So that was their, let's say, lower tier, and it could be more fun with colors and all of that. So I think that's one. And then the chip, right? I mean, the rumors say it's gonna be an A18, I think. That is powerful enough for most people, but for sure it's less powerful than an M whatever, M4 or M3 even. So I think that's probably it. And I mean port probably as well. Like I mean, does everybody need four ports? Probably not.
Yeah, I think what it does is it, in differing from Chromebooks, I don't think having worked with Chromebooks and trying to teach teachers how to use them, there's just not, and then being a Mac person, there's just not a lot of apps that do what you can do on a Chrome that you can do on a Mac that's on a Chromebook. And so I think this, even at a low processor and with some cutbacks, I read a story that had like 17 things they're going to take out of it. It's some projection or rumor, and it was like, oh, they're going to take away the keyboard, the illuminating keyboard in it, and they're going to take this, and they're going to do. And I was like, no, just I can't believe all that Apple would sacrifice that amount of quality. But frankly, the leap to having from going to what's big in the educational market right now to a Mac opens up a whole world of actual computing versus Chrome-based apps that people run everything on.
And I mean, think about it. Like the baseline iPads that are not M series are quite powerful still, and you can run a lot of stuff on it. So I doubt that an A18 MacBook would be that much worse, like for what people need and on that level, right? Of course, it's not going to compete with an M4 Max or an M5 Max or whatever, but that's also not the market you're in. I want to talk about something else. Formula One is happening next week. The season is starting, and I mean, as we might remember, Apple bought the rights to stream it this year. I think the next couple of years, even in the U.S. at least. Fortunately, only in the U.S. And Apple announced this week what's happening, what's coming, like how everything is going to work. So The streams will be 4K HDR with 5.1 audio, which is quite a high quality compared to what other broadcasts are doing. It will also support in the TV app multi-view, so you can have different streams, and I'm assuming that also means you will have different kind of channels almost that you can watch, probably like onboard versus live broadcast versus, I don't know, some other stuff, maybe some maps you can look at where the people are. It says here you can get a large view of the race feed with a smaller onboard view of the two Red Bull cars and so on. The sessions will be presented in English and in Spanish audio. So they're using the Formula One TV feed, the official feed, as a primary, but are also offering the Sky Sports feed as an option, which, as far as I know, a lot of people in the US are used to watching. So it's kind of, yeah, I think a compromise or a you get what you're used to kind of type of deal. They say there's 30 extra feeds, including a race tracker, driver data, podium channels, and so on, and all 22 driver cameras. So quite a lot of selection.
Standard if you're using the apps. Mm-hmm. So if you're on Sky TV, mm-hmm, and you download the Sky app to your phone or to your tablet or to your MacBook, then you can watch all of the driver channels, all of the background information, that kind of stuff. You can see it better, but you can't. That's just all out on standard feeds that are published by F1.
Okay. Yeah, that's
good
to know.
From the main TV channel, so they just have to pick that up. So Sky will give you that, as well as all they're doing is taking what they've got from F1 and putting it into it. Taking Sky, I'm interested who's lost out in the US, who was showing it in the US.
Wasn't it Eurosport or something? ESPN? ESPN or something?
ESPN, yeah, because Apple have taken it on and they've got exclusive rights and ESPN hasn't got any coverage.
Yeah.
That's going to be quite huge because there's a lot of new fans who tune in every week. So Apple will make a fair mint off of this, perhaps.
I mean,
what does this mean in terms of Vision Pro?
So there is on the Vision Pro, you do not get the 3D race map, but you get a fifth camera view. But other than that, all of that is also apparently available in the Vision Pro. So that's I think
this means I can drink and drive. That's what it means.
Yeah. if you're from your sofa, yeah, at home.
You brought up a really interesting point though that I hadn't thought about, is who's losing out here, and it didn't feel like F1 really ever. It felt like it was borderline one of those throwaway sports on ESPN. That
you go back 10 years, absolutely it was.
Yeah, well, I'm talking recently now. I along with a lot of other people, have become more interested in F1 because of the movie. But, you know, it's like, okay, you walk in somewhere and into a bar or a restaurant and it's the race is on and nobody's paying any attention to it because it was never promoted. It was never a big thing. It's just, okay, we have ESPN on to satisfy all the sports geeks. And so that's what's playing. So, you know, now that somebody is actually focusing on it and there is a push, it'll be interesting to see how much more valuable a property it becomes and stays.
Yeah.
The groundswell is, I mean, if you look now at Instagram, there's an awful lot of pundits who are American. And it aggravates me a little bit because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they were kind of like, what, the car's turned right? And you're like, yeah, they do right. They go right and left.
Yeah. Part of the reason why, at least according to Six Colors, why Formula One is very or has become very popular in the US is Netflix's Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive.
Yeah. And which
another... is utter rubbish. It's utter rubbish because most of it is cut together with footage and driver comments that are not from the right place. They've outed them on this.
But nobody knows.
Absolutely. No, they do know. Nando Norris has gone, I didn't say that there. I said that about 10 corners before.
Yeah.
So they've been caught out for editorializing it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody from, exactly. Nobody from the people who care about it.
I'll be back.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. The good or the let's say surprising news is Apple and Netflix have made a deal, and there will be a kind of a content swap Formula One related between the two companies. So the Drive to Survive series is coming to Apple TV on Friday, the new season that is starting. It will debut simultaneously on Netflix and on Apple TV, which makes sense.
Just for a little background, I did a search. Apparently, you're right. It was on ESPN via Walt Disney or the Disney
Ooh,
Channel.
wow, okay.
Held the exclusive U.S. broadcasting rights for Formula One immediately before Apple, their partnership running from 2018 to the end of the 225 season.
So
Previous
8 years.
partners include, yeah, previous and part partners include NBC Sports Network from 2013 to 2017, and the Speed Channel. I don't know, Chuck, if you remember the Speed Channel.
Speed
I
Channel.
forgot about the Speed Channel. Yes. Yes.
There is also another deal that Apple is or has struck. The streamer Tubi is getting exclusive alt casts from multiple races, whatever that will mean. It's basically an alternative version of the main broadcast. But yeah, so there's at least some free access to content available. And also, Netflix will broadcast the Canadian Grand Prix in May. So.
That altcast thing, Patrice, is some guy with an iPhone on turn two. Yes.
No, holding a phone like on a like to film it like a old an old TV like and stream it
Yeah.
that
Or doing a selfie, with him
Oh
in the
yeah.
with him in the and the cars in the background. Yeah,
Yeah, there's
that works. Well, I was
nothing.
inspired in
Yeah.
a couple of weeks ago, after we were
Yeah.
talking about Apple's acquisition, was I went to the F1 website and downloaded their calendar. So now I have, along with the Cubs games, I have the different races of when they're going to be and what they're going to built into my calendar so I can
Yeah.
seek them out.
Also in that announcement was, or part of the announcement was that there will be IMAX streams of those of summer races at least. I'm assuming it depends a little bit on what time they're happening. So if they're happening in the middle of the night, they might not do that. I'm guessing more doing the walking the waking hours. Maybe also the walking hours, who knows?
So does this become, I mean, does that become a product that IMAX can then put on their app in Vision Pro?
Oh, that would be so cool if you could
Yeah.
do that. Yeah, have some. I mean, how about like immersive Formula One races? That would be
Yeah, I
cool.
don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I guess it would give you a better sense of distance between cars if you're shooting from the vehicle.
Well, from the vehicle or even from the side, like it would just be interesting to like you
Yeah.
can be sitting on the track and like literally watch the cars like race past. So yeah, that would be really interesting. So a lot happening for the big like the start of the season in Australia, I think Melbourne. I think it's Melbourne. Next week, next weekend. Well, next week, starting Friday, I think. So, do we think Apple will do anything for their special experience about Formula One?
Oh, I think they are somewhere they're going to have to mention it. I mean, it
Mm-hmm.
would be a huge wasted. Well, see, I don't know. That's not true, because if the I hate rumors, but if the rumors are true, and it's going to be a series of press releases or videos, then those are most likely going to be dedicated to the product and or service.
But it doesn't
So,
mean
do you
that
try
they
to?
can't have some like little things. I don't know, they're showing an iPad and oh, by the way, we can watch the latest whatever for
Yeah,
Formula One.
well, good point. Good point. Yeah.
Something that, or hey, you can like, hey, by the way, you can on your new MacBook Pro, you can also watch the Formula One racing in glorious 4K, whatever, next weekend. Something like that they could do.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting. Interesting week next week. I think, yeah, we can probably do one little story. Apple is let's talk politics a little bit. Apple has announced that they're speeding up their Mac Mini the US manufacturing with Mac Mini production. So apparently, some of the minis that people are using for OpenClaw right now will be actually, at least if you're in the US, probably will might be produced in the US. Any thoughts on that? Just
It's one more place to produce them. It services a bunch of agendas, or at least a couple agendas,
Yes.
because Apple gets a new mini manufacturing plant. It addresses some of the demands that have been made on Apple to move manufacturing to the U.S. So, I know some people see this as playing politics, and if it is, hey, it is. It may be a necess an can't talk a, ne a necessary thing to do to try to, not draw fire.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, why it can serve like multiple purposes, right? It can be okay, let's do that. Let's play politics a little bit. I mean, it's like every company, every big company has to play that game a little bit, some more, some less, sometimes more, sometimes less. But also, I mean, it diversifies a little bit your production line, right? I mean, even if they're only producing, I don't know, 1% of all Mac Minis in the US, hey, that 1%, if anything happens in, let's say, Taiwan, or in China, with China, well, you have at least that.
Jim Ray, I think, posted an article that kind of explained that site on what's going on. If I and I skimmed through it, but it was I think there are 1 million Mac Minis sold each year, and so that gives you an idea of the capacity. And if that production facility can produce them, well, that's all the best. We're living in a world that people have strong feelings against tariffs. I'm one of them. But frankly, this gets out of the tariff fight at that point by creating them,
Not
building
really.
them domestically.
Not really,
Yeah,
because
well,
all the parts and materials are still
parts coming in.
coming
Yeah,
in.
I get that. But there's a little bit more control over that
Yeah,
process. So
for
it's
sure. And to be fair,
appearances,
some
yeah,
parts are
appearances,
coming from the
everything.
US, right? It's
Yeah,
always been that
so.
way.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised. I think it, as you said, it diversifies production. This is a Foxconn facility. Apple
As
doesn't
always,
own the
yeah.
facility. They're just renting the space, and so that allows them to shift that around.
Yeah, I mean that's how Apple always does it. Like I think all I mean since the days of what was it? The Macs that the what was it called? XServe that they still produced in the US where Apple actually still owned
Right, the
the
server.
facility. Yeah, I think si I mean since then it's basically always been a contract manufacturer of some sort that Apple would simply partner with and they pay for some of it or give or lend them money to build the facility or anything like that and then they get access to it. So I think I mean that's how Apple works. They don't want to own the facility, they don't want to run the
Yeah.
facility, they just want to say, hey, but we are producing them. And if Apple ever decides that it's not working, they just move somewhere else. And someone else could step in and produce whatever they want there. Yeah. All right. That's oh, perfect timing. Ewan is coming back. Ewan, that's perfect timing because I was just about to talk about all technologies. So I'll
Oh,
hand
right,
that
yeah, all
over to you.
technologies. The people that buy our server, fantastic company. They do construction monitoring for sites and that kind of stuff. A magical camera system that takes pictures and measures loads of metrics and takes all the data and puts it on the image. So what it gives you then is a context, so you can see what you were doing when the noise changed, when the dust changed, when the vibration occurred, etc., that kind of thing. Additional sensors called MOCA, which is for vibration, Aura, which is for audio, for noise, and then FOSS, which is a light sensor as well, that again interacts with the cameras and prints the data to the images. You can do ergonomic analysis on it, you can do safety analysis on it, you can do time and motion on it afterwards and improve your services, and you can get yourself out of a pile of trouble with local enforcing authorities. So environmental managers are good. Anyone in large construction firms that want to have a go at using it, send them to awtechnologies.co.uk, sorry, and you can check it out and they'll give you a presentation on it.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting the BTM.
Yeah, thank you. So it's always a great pleasure. And I really like you. You've shared over the years some of the stuff you've done with it, and it's just really cool.
Cool stuff. Yeah,
really cool. Like,
yeah. And it's England have won the cricket match.
Yay!
It's sorry, go ahead. It's been interesting to watch it evolve. You know, as new capabilities have come online. You know,
it does. Yeah, I mean, it's there's been some real serious wins with it, you know, companies that have got themselves into troubles with the EHOs, and we've produced the data from it saying, no, it wasn't them. And we actually used it at a rugby club recently. They had an external event with audio, amplified audio outside, which is outside of their planning permission. And the system proved that the people were making noise, would be making more noise ringing up to complain in their house than they were getting from the amplified audio. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had yesterday, I talked to someone who worked on the Elizabeth line in London. I talked about it, like about Sentry and all of that. And he was quite impressed with it. So I was like, I was surprised that he didn't know you. But I mean,
I'll give you
so
a commission. I'll give you a commission. Get on it.
Yeah, I'll let
the
him know.
On. Just the thing I always say to people is sell the meeting. Don't try and sell the product, because people try and explain it, and then they lose people. You're different because you understand it. But but a lot of people, it's just like, just say my mate's got this amazing camera system. Give him an hour.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what
I want to get into Amtrak in the States. So if anyone's listening in the States and you've got a connection at Amtrak, we could do with getting in there. Because we could explode then, because we could save you a fortune.
Yeah, I have to get you into like Austrian trains. Like they're building like crazy here, and I need to get you into that. Like they're literally gonna rip out here in Vienna. They're gonna rip out like one of the main tracks here for like I think a year. There will be no trains going like from where I'm at to the city center. Because they have to replace all of it, like literally the building and everything.
A year contract, mate, and I'll pay for your flying lessons.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice. I'll take that. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. One of the things that our technologies and the server enable us to do is have a live stream. So if you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording this very show, then you can like see us like talk about stuff and like record this live. You get a little bit of the pre-show, the post-show, and most importantly, you get the live chat. You can talk to us like Bob Beach, for example, has been doing. Like he's been reporting also on what the cricket game match was going, but also some really good comments about Formula One coming to the UK, all of that. He wants Formula One on Apple TV in the UK, and I think I wholeheartedly agree. Apple should expand this. It's just really cool solution, no registration required. It generates a random name for you if you're not registered. So Bob Beach was, for example, Musing Newman. But you can just tap on the purple button, change name, and just change it to
Gary Newman's brother.
Exactly. Yeah. We have a live transcript as well. If you're listening to this in the recorded form on our website, in a podcast player, wherever you're finding it, britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and select today's date, which is February 27th, 2026. I almost said 2027. February 27th, 2026. Select that. You will see everything that we talked about in the chat. And speaking of chat, let's talk about cool things, and Ewan has the first one.
Yeah, so I've satisfied Marty's curiosity. Two AOC gaming monitors, 32 inches with slightly curved screens, 240 megahertz, 1080p resolution, 199 quid. There you go.
Very
It
cool.
doesn't get
Okay.
better than that. AOC, absolutely fantastic monitors. As I say, I've got I had a large Ilyama that was my main screen for the driving seat, and then I had a second monitor which was AOC. But I want to get the two ACEs mounted alongside the Ilyama monitor now, so I've got like a little immersive gaming rig. So I bought another one, like I said, for 200 quid. It's a phenomenal monitor, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I think you've just spent Marty's money at least. Maybe
Like I
Tony's.
say, Ilyama AOC, the one I've got in front of me is called Z Edge, Z hyphen Edge, and it's brilliant.
Right.
Just Amazon is lousy with good quality cheap monitors at the minute in the UK, and they are cheap.
Yeah,
Very cool.
cheap, but they work. And you could always buy a new one if it ever were to break.
Oh, Jesus. Screw you, Chuck Joyner.
Chuck, what did you just pick?
Well, it's sort of going back to our discussion about plugging things into the iPhone or iPad for video. I interviewed these folks. This is a company that is a sister company to the folks that do. Oh, great. I just lost it. I'm brain dead. Anyway, talked to them at CES. And this is the Plank. It's a portable external SSD that is pathetically small. I mean, it's crazy how small this thing is.
Tiny.
It looks
Plugs
it.
right into your USB-C on your phone or iPad, and lets you send things over to it, move things, store extra things. And I have learned that through some experimentation recently, that if you are doing recordings on your phone or iPad, you can send those recordings directly to this. It's not like you have to copy them and then move them over. So it acts just like any other hard drive on your Mac.
In fact, that's the only way you can record in really, really high quality in ProRes.
Yes.
Right? Because
Yeah.
it
So,
only works if you have plugged in like a hard drive.
yeah.
So, and I mean,
Yes.
what's really cool is that the USB-C plug is taller than the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you plug it in, you can almost miss it. Shift Cam, I'm sorry. This is a sister company to Shift Cam. I couldn't say Shift Cam. And we've talked to Shift Cam several times. They make really interesting products in the mobile filmmaking space. So this fits in really well with that, but you don't have to be a mobile filmmaker to, to enjoy the benefits of this.
Very cool. Very cool. Marty, you got a ice cream maker for us. Without the ice
Yeah,
cream.
literally, this is a cool thing.
Literally.
And there was another selection that I had, but it's not gonna come out till next week, so I didn't feel it was fair for me to do that. But I am new to the ice cream making and blending sort of process. This is just a lot of fun. And this is the one that I got. As every new device that I get, I never read the instructions. And so I screwed a few things up early on by freezing a whole tank of cream without adding anything into it. And then I went back and I read the instructions or didn't read the instructions, read enough to make sure I wasn't going to screw it up the second time. This is nice. This is actually, this whole kick for me was inspired by Jill from the North Woods, who is on Dave's show In Touch with iOS, but she also appeared on a show that I have called 15 Minute Bites. And what she was sharing in terms of recipes was how to make ice cream. And so she kind of got me on that kick. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow, so I am bringing over different flavors of ice cream that I'll make that she has. That I know she likes, so sort of a father-daughter gift for that. I'm just having a great time with this as a hobby. We'll enjoy it as I do. But 40% faster freezing, it really surprised me once I poured the stuff in and got it started right. Within 30 minutes, it was ready to take out and put into
Wow.
the freezer. And so far, so good in terms of its price. It's the exact same price of Chuck's little SSD drive that you plug in, at least as it is currently on Amazon.
So you can either have really, really yummy ice cream or record videos in ProRes. You can't have both. No, you actually can have both. Just buy
You
both.
can have both.
Yeah, cool. Very cool thing, I have to say. My cool thing is a book. I don't remember either. It was Ian who recommended it to me on the big show, or I had it on hardcover. I don't remember where from. But it's a really interesting book by Andy Clark. It's titled "The Experience Machine: How Our Minds Predict and Shape Reality," and it was super fascinating to think about how our brains evolved. And he approaches it from a like scientific, like he has some good examples to start you and like start you with and get you to understand the principles. But then he goes really deep, like how our entire like perception system works, and like it's not the like whatever, oh, I see something, it gets processed, it gets processed, it gets processed. It's kind of not like that, and there's a good reason for it. And once you understand it, you're like, that totally makes sense. That like our reality that we perceive is based on predictions. Our brain basically says, well, I expect this and this to happen, and then it checks it against what the inputs are. And if they're not matching, then it adjusts. Because that's more efficient than constantly processing huge amounts of data. So that was really interesting, allowed me to understand a lot of things. Like you have the phantom taps on your, like if you're, on your wrist, for example. If you're carrying an Apple Watch, you think, oh, it's tapping me, and it's not. You just thought it was because that's what your brain thought should happen now. Or people have reported like if they carried their phone in their pocket all day, and it was vibrating sometimes. And then they took it out, and it would still feel the vibration every now and then. And think, oh, it's vibrating. No, it's not, because the phone isn't there. Like, how does that happen? And it's all based on predictions that the brain kind of expects there to be vibration, and just hallucinates it basically. I said, and then you realize that's happening, and it self-corrects basically. It says, oh no, this was wrong. So it's a really, really interesting book. Really well written. Really good explanations for it. Goes very deep. It's not just about hallucinations or also like audible hallucinations, but also like in general how processes work in your brain and how processes work in your body. So pretty good book, highly recommended. Don't ask me what it costs, but it's I got it on Libro as an audiobook and can just re recommend that. All right.
Sounds interesting, Patrice.
Yeah, it was just for me, it allowed me, even for flying right now, allowed me to understand some things that I learn. Like there's a whole like chapter, human performance and limitations, where like you talk about like what things you can see at night that aren't there and all of that, and it allowed me to understand why they're happening, which is quite powerful. So, good book. All right. With that, I think we're ready to wrap this up, and I'm going to start with Ewan this time. Ewan can tell people where they can find out more about you.
You can follow me photography work at ministryofimage.co.uk, and I've done quite a lot of stuff recently that's a bit different, which is good. And there's a bit of fun on there that I've been doing during lockdown, how to do the tiny planets thing with bubbles and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm on the Ministry of Image at Instagram, and you can follow me still on Twitter at Ewan Rankin. I'm one of the only people on there with my own name, I think now. Not
Probably.
many, just us geeks.
Yeah, it's true. Marty, what about you?
You can find everything that I do at the website, thepodtalk.net. That includes shows that I'm on, shows that I produce, The shows that are kind of my focus, right? And I mentioned one already, the 15 Minute Bites. That's just kind of
Brand
a
new.
fun, brand new, lots of fun. But then primarily the anchor show for me is Vision Profiles, which occurs on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we cover the weekly news and opinions and ideas around the Vision Pro and other AR/VR headsets. Dave Ginsberg is on that. Eric Bolden is also on that show. And then Tuesdays with Chuck on Mac Voices, Thursdays with Dave on In Touch with iOS. And I love being here Fridays. I just go through cold turkey when I can't be here and or when shows don't make. So this is a different kind of fun conversation and challenging, but just great. So thank you for having me.
Well, Fridays are a good day for me now, so I should be a lot more often here. Thursdays, I'm still struggling a bit because it's the only chance I get to go for a beer with my son. So, but definitely be here more on Mac.
Very cool.
So, glad to have you, mate. Glad to have you.
Maybe one of these days you will remember something about Mac.
I'll host one day. Oh
One
yeah,
day.
I'll take the
One
reins back
day.
after I, if I come for 6 weeks in a row, then I'll take
Okay, okay.
the reins. You will be the non-interim host at that point.
Non-interim host, yes.
The
Perfect.
non-interim host. Yeah, and man, it's really funny. You said today, "Oh, I don't have any stories. I'm not prepared." And then you brought up like I think three different topics. But
I lied. I'm a crap liar. What can I say?
okay. Chuck, what about you? Like you're doing so much content on Mac Voices, it's hard to keep up with sometimes.
Yeah, the during CES season it does turn into a
Yes,
lot, but you
but
know
it's all
the thing to
interesting.
remember, well, and the thing to remember is that you know th those interviews are somewhere between 4 and 10 minutes, most of them. So put a couple of those together, and you've got a regular length show. So the CES stuff is pretty much done now. Now we're back into a little more of a normal schedule until NAB hits. So that's at macvoices.com. The live show is Tuesday nights at youtube.com/macvoices TV at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Very cool. Thank you. And for me, I'm here every week, almost every week on the Big Show and on the Mac Show, unless I'm traveling like earlier this week, so I couldn't join Big Show yesterday, for example. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. And with a certain Jeff Gamet, I have a podcast called Retro Rewatch. I always like to show the cool Mac because I just love the colors orange and white and black. It's just really, really cool. And we're rewatching Stargate SG-1 right now. We just started to hop back into season four with small victories. And the next episode should be out, well, sometime today. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And yeah, go. It's The Other Side. That's the title of the episode. So go listen to it. The British Tech Network is also online or available on social media. I think you and we still have a Twitter account that you have. I don't remember what it's called.
British Tech Network. Yeah,
British Tech
British Tech,
Network.
sorry. At British Tech on Twitter, yeah.
At British Tech on Twitter. We are also at British Tech Network at techhangout.social Mastodon and at BritishTechNetwork.com on BlueSky if you want to reach out there to us. And also there's an email address, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, I think is still the address. Yeah, with that, thanks guys for being here. Always a pleasure. Thanks everyone for listening, and see you next week.